Tape number JE15B. The following is the second message on the rapture, taking the second main point, his appearing, given Sunday morning, March 10, 1963.
And I was showing you a stature there, a preparation. And we learned the first thing was to take heed to self. Wasn't that true? Take heed to self, beloved, that will surfeit. That is, have your heart overcharged. We saw the disease there, and we saw the symptoms of the spiritual heart disease. Your heart overcharged, that means just bursting asunder. Your whole being centered around the carnal, around eating and around drinking and around the cares of this life. And lots of Christians are in this category today, unfortunately. And then we were learning, we were on the second thing about watching. And we learned that that word watch there implied being awake, to be awake. As Jesus told the disciples, he said, "What, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour?" They went to sleep. They weren't awake. And it's for sure while you're watching and praying, prayer goes along with this. Be awake and be praying. Well, you're not going to go to sleep. You can't sleep and pray at the same time. But prayer will keep you awake. And then we were studying and learning the purpose of staying awake. And we went to Romans, the 13th chapter. Let's pass that way just by review. And we'll hurry on here this morning. Perhaps we can get off of the preparation part this morning anyway. We'll hurry as quickly as possible. In the 13th chapter of Romans, we begin to see the purpose of being awake. What was the purpose of being awake, saints? Huh? I can't hear you. Oh, that's just part of it. Now, what's the main thing? What's the purpose of being awake? To get dressed, that's it. And you can't get dressed with the bride's garments unless, beloved, that you cast off the garments of darkness, of ignorance, and of misery, and so on. Now then, in the 13th chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 11, well, we saw something there, didn't we? And we saw a little stature there of how to get dressed. Let's put it over here so we can work around it. How to get dressed. What was the first thing we had to do, huh? That's right, to cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the works of ignorance and misery and affliction. And then he told us to put on what? Light. Let's put on the light. Let's put on the armor of light. Because without your armor of light, you'll not be able to walk honestly. You'll not be able to walk honestly. And we studied there of how to walk honestly. And you're not walking honestly when you're walking in rioting. That means reveling. Are you walking in drunkenness? Are you walking in chambering? And our wantonness, and not in strife and envying. When you're walking in strife, how do you know when you're walking in strife? What is strife? Exactly, competing with somebody else. That spirit of ambition, what are you striving for? To get ahead of somebody else. When somebody else sort of pushes you down, do you just accept it before the Lord and try to learn your lesson of humility? Or do you find something come up and try to get back at them and try to shove them in the nose, huh? You're not walking honestly. Amen. And so envy, not walking in envy. Envy means to pine away. When you hear somebody else's prosperity or you hear somebody else's success or you find God doing something for them that He doesn't seem to be doing for you, do you have a sick feeling over in the northwest corner that you feel like you're just pining away. You're just wasting away inside, huh? Well, you're not walking honestly. To walk honestly, beloved, you've got to have the light. And to have the light, you've got to cast off darkness. And then in verse 14, we learn he said to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I showed you how that Lord there, spelled with a small D, meant master and husband. Put him on and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so put on Jesus. Now when you're awake, you're going to be after these things. Now we don't just do this all at one time, but we're continually casting off the works of darkness, the garments of darkness. We're continually putting on the armor of light. We're continually walking more honest every day when we get down on our knees before Jesus, letting Him search out our hearts and being honest in your heart to yourself and before God. Beloved, if you'll be honest, you can always know what's eating at the bottom of your heart. If you're honest, you can always tell when your attitude is wrong. When you're honest, you can always tell when your disposition is wrong. And when you're not being honest, you'll start putting the blame off on somebody else. You'll start putting the blame off on your situation, on your circumstance, on your church, on your pastor. Just put it on anybody but yourself. That's not being honest. When you're honest, you can tell what's wrong. And so we don't put Jesus on all at one time, but we are busy putting Him on. Now you're going to have to be awake, and you're going to have to be watching every opportunity, beloved, to lay hold of Him. Praise God. And prayer time is a good opportunity to lay hold. You're missing. You're not watching. You're not being awake when you sit there and gaze around. If you would just, even after you get through praying, just start meditating on Jesus. Meditating on some message you've heard recently. Meditate on something that Jesus has been quickening to you recently. And so on. You'd be surprised how He'll reveal it to you. And Jesus showed me a mystery this morning while I was awake up here. Amen. After I got through praying, seemed like for the different needs and the different countries, the Holy Ghost making intercession and travail, then it just seemed like the Lord picked my mind up and just began to, again, I began to cry out in my heart while the Spirit all the time is making intercession and travail and telling Jesus that I want to be like Him and that I want to go on, that I want to be sincere and I want to be honest and just begin to believe Him for my personal need. And then the Lord took me back to the word in Isaiah where He said that cast your bread upon the waters and after many days it would return unto you again. How many of you understand what the Spirit really means by that? Cast your bread upon the waters and after many days it'll return unto you again. God showed us a principle there in His Word. What is the bread, huh? The Word. Amen. Now here's the principle. Hallelujah. And Jesus did a miracle to prove this principle. Hallelujah. He took five loaves, and two fishes. And as the disciples break the bread and passed it out on the waters, the people, sometimes waters represent people. Amen. They cast it out to the people. And when they come back, what had happened? That bread had already returned to 12 baskets full. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. They shared the bread. How many times have I told you Jesus pays me for serving Him? Every time I come and cast bread out to you, He beats me back to my prayer closet. Hallelujah. And I find there the 12 baskets full of bread. It's already returned to me. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It returned back in such greater portion, beloved, than what they'd given out, so to speak. Is that wonderful? Now that's a spiritual principle. Now when did I get that mystery revealed to me? While I was awake. Under Mahaya over here on my knees this morning. You missed Amamahandaya. Now, what was that? That was light. God took the word in Isaiah, and He took the word over here, and He put it together, and He clothed my mind with light, speaks of understanding. How can you know when you're putting on the word? How can you know when it's light? That is when you understand it. And it becomes light to you. Oh, hallelujah. So I cast off some ignorance. So that was a verse I'd always pondered on there in Isaiah. Really wondering what it really meant. And many times I've meditated and prayed over that verse. Well, this morning He stripped off the ignorance about it. And He clothed me with the light of it. Hallelujah. Now I'll be able to walk more honestly. Don't you see? Amen. Praise God. Beloved, this is real going on with God. This is not a fictitious thing. This is not just an imaginary thing in our mind. This is a real thing, staying awake and getting ready and getting dressed up for the coming of the Lord. And that's why the devil hates it so bad. There's more devils here over this church than probably any church in the United States of America, or probably the world. Because I'll tell you why, the dragon himself is here. The devil has the stature. Satan, the devil, and the serpent, and the dragon. And the dragon is here in person. That speaks of full stature, a slapping and a warring continually. That's why you'll get slapped down in the midst of the whole thing if you don't get down to business, because you're here between tremendous light on one side and tremendous powers of darkness on the other side, and you've got to stay awake and keep in the light, or you'll get slapped down with the powers of darkness on the other, and the Messiah on the other hand. You understand what I'm saying to you, saints? This is nothing to fool with around here. All right, let's hurry on. All right, let's go over then to... praise God. Where's that other verse I want? Let me get back in the Spirit here. Now, about waking up, this is important. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Real quick, 1 Corinthians 15, 34. And here's another thing here. Oh, this is a tremendous chapter. I wish I had time to go into it. This is the famous resurrection chapter in the New Testament here. And we find Paul is writing this chapter, the Spirit of God through him like a lawyer. And he's pleading the truth and the fact of the resurrection. So he reasons with them. Here, starting in verse 12, he said, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead?" And there's a group of people today among the latter rain people that deny the resurrection of the body. And they say that Jesus is coming is just that's when He comes in you. Now, Paul is writing to people that already have had Jesus to come inside of them, already have had the Holy Ghost, already been baptized in His name. He's writing to a people that have had all of that, and he's still preaching about Jesus coming again and telling them to look for His coming. Now, he said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Why? Because Christ was the first fruits of those that rose from the dead. Isn't that right, huh? And if he arose from the dead, then that guarantees you as a Christian, that you're going to rise from the dead, hallelujah, with a spiritual body. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's read it now. And he said, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." In other words, Paul said, if what you say is true, then I'm a false witness, I'm a false prophet, because I've testified to you, hallelujah, that Jesus rose from the dead. But you're saying you don't believe in the resurrection, so that puts Jesus back in the grave. And what happens? He said, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Because when you went down into the watery grave in His name, you signified remission from sin. Hallelujah. By His death and by His resurrection. Now if He's still in the grave, then you're still in your sins. And He said, then they which also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now let's skip down and to verse 29, because this picks up the context again. And this is a scripture that the Catholics and some other groups base a tremendous doctrine of baptism for the dead, because they don't understand this verse. And you'd be surprised. I've read many commentaries and sought out from many places, and I've yet to see the Holy Ghost revelation of verse 29. Let's look at it. Else he said, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? He's not talking about you being baptized for your dead brother. He was talking about you being Amama Mashana. What profit is it if you were baptized for a dead Christ? A dead Jesus. You understand? Now what are we going to do then, said Paul? If we got baptized for a dead Jesus, what then does baptism profit us? Because if He isn't risen to put the anointing of His name and His resurrection power on the water, what good did it do you to get baptized then? You understand what we're saying to you? This verse bothered me many years on end. Now then, let's look at it. And he said, why are they baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Why were they baptized for a dead Christ then? That's the meaning of this verse. He said, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. He said, if after the manner of beast I fought with, manner of men I fought with beast at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Did you hear that? It's a shame not to have the knowledge of God. He's talking to those Corinthians. Some of you haven't yet been clothed with the light of His resurrection truth. You're still with your cloak of ignorance on concerning His resurrection. Now He said, awake, get up and get this dirty dress of ignorance off of you. Get this cloak of darkness off of you and get the light of a Mahandaya of His resurrection, the truth of it. Be clothed with it in your mind. Are you following me, saints? Alright, now notice this here. He said, be not deceived, evil communications and corrupt good manners. Now you're not awakened to righteousness. What is righteousness? That's putting on the light, and that's putting on Jesus Christ. That's casting off your ignorance and putting on righteousness. But as long as you have evil communication and as long as you have corrupt good manners, then he said you're still asleep. You understand what I'm saying to you? Evil communication, miserable communication, just yakking among yourselves, amen, when you could be undressing, beloved, the ignorance of your mind, and you could be dressing up, hallelujah, with the light of the Word. He said, awake, put on righteousness, let's watch, let's use every opportunity. Saints, I'm afraid we're not serious enough about this thing. I'm afraid we're still playing too much about it. Now you just play on if you want to, and one of these days in the near future, as sure as I stand here in this pulpit, Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky, and He's going to appear for a people that have been wide awake and have dressed up and put on their wedding garments. Hallelujah. And corrupt good manners. What's corrupt good manners? No, He wants us to be courteous, doesn't He, huh? Well, then what are corrupt good manners? Praise God. What are corrupt good manners, huh? What, honey? That's right. Manners that have an ulterior motive inside. I'll be nice to sister today because I want her to do something for me. Or I'll be nice to somebody today because I want them to think I'm so lovely and so wonderful. That hypocrisy, that thing that doesn't come from the Spirit of God because it comes out of the nature of Jesus. Anything that comes out of the flesh is corrupt, saints, and has an evil motive behind the whole thing. And has an underlying purpose in it. Praise God. Now, are you following me? Amen. Now, awake, He said. And let's be sincere. Let's go to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And let's see something else of how to get awake. Let's wake up. Let's quit sleeping spiritually. And drowsing around. There's not time for you to sleep and put on your wedding garments. You say, well, maybe somebody will wake me up even if I don't go in as a bride. Well, I'll go in as a virgin. Well, watch out. You might end up one of the foolish virgins. You might end up with not enough oil. Hallelujah. Even if you sleep right up to the end of the time, you might end up a foolish virgin. The fifth chapter of Ephesians. Chapter of Ephesians, starting in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now he says here, beloved, one time you was had darkness in you and upon you. But now you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and you've been brought over into the kingdom of light, but you've still got some dirty garments on you. Now let's start undressing, because these garments of darkness and ignorance don't belong to the kingdom of light. You understand? All right, let's read on. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. He said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now notice it. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't fellowship them, whether they're upon your own mind or whether they're on somebody else's mind. Don't fellowship them or you'll miss out. Now notice this, verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Did you hear that? You know when you're waking up, you know when you're awake, you're not going to be sleeping and you're not going to be talking about, you're not going to fill your mind with what somebody else is doing undercover and what they're doing secretly and what they're doing over here and over there. And he said it's a shame. Praise God. Now, how many of you are still awake here? Say amen. There's another way of reveling. We get on the telephone. Oh, you know what the so-and-so did? Oh, I heard this. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know what you're doing? You're fellowshipping darkness. And after a while, that darkness is going to start bearing fruit inside of you. And you're going to start getting miserable. And you're going to start criticizing. You're going to start accusing. You're going to start losing your peace. You're going to start losing your joy. You're going to start losing your love to pray and to get into the Word and get into the house of God and to go on. And pretty soon you're going to feel like just throwing up your hands and quitting and setting down. Now, beloved, Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. You say, Sister Hicks, how can you work on a job and not fellowship the unfruitful works of darkness? You don't have to if you don't want to.
Amen.
But there's a capacity inside of every one of us that revels, that delights in knowing the juicy news and the gossip and what's going on in secret here and yonder. And we give ourselves to that thing because that's what we want. Now you can rise up against it and can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can pray. You can even hum a spiritual song or sing a spiritual song as you have occasion. There are lots of things you can do if you want to.
Amen.
And when you've got your coffee breaks, instead of taking your coffee, well, you can go to the restroom and take your Bible and sit there and pray and study. Or take the word that's in your mind. There's all kinds of ways we can do things if we want to.
Amen.
Now, you're not awake when you're fellowship in darkness. And the best way to really get you into a sound sleep is keep on fellowship in that darkness. And it'll lull you. It'll just give you. It'll be like a knockout pill to you. Until you're so woozy and oozy and every other kind of thing that you won't even, there'll be nothing inside of you that wants to stand up, hallelujah, and to fellowship the light then. Oh, hallelujah. Saints, how many of you want to wake up? Do you really, huh? How many of you are going to try to wake up a little bit more, huh? Now, nobody can do it for you. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. Even Jesus Christ Himself can't wake you up when you want to sleep. You say, how you know that? Bless God, there goes that thing again. Because He tried three times to wake up the disciples over there in the Garden of Gethsemane and they refused to be woke up. Then the time comes, Jesus said, sleep on now. And He wasn't talking about just a physical sleep. Sleep on now. They were still asleep when He went to Amamahaya, Pilate's hall. And they were still asleep when He went to Calvary's cross. And they missed all the lessons they could have learned. Who knows what they would have learned if they'd have been awake. I'm the Messiah, spiritually. Jesus Christ Himself can't wake you up if you want to sleep. You know why? Because He's made you a free moral agent. You can fellowship what you want to fellowship. If you want to pull your clothes of ignorance and darkness round about you and fellowship them, and fellowship somebody else's clothes of ignorance and darkness, you can have just what you want. But I'll let you in on a secret. You'll not have the light, and you'll not walk honestly, nor you'll not put on Jesus Christ while you're doing it. All right, let's hurry up real quick. Now, praise God. Where are we here? Let's take another thing here. Praise God. Let's go back to Luke. Let's go back to Luke, the 21st chapter. Now we're to wake up. We're to stay awake. And I should have put my prayer over on this side. And when you stay awake, beloved, let's pray when we get awake. A lot of times the Lord wakes you up, the Holy Ghost wakes you up, and because that you don't go on and pray, then you fall asleep again. As far as actually being awake and really going on for God. Praise God. When you've got that old drowsy spirit inside, that the Word is just like a water on a duck's back. You hear what the preacher says, you see other people get excited about it, but it doesn't provoke anything inside of you. It's not touching anything inside of you. Now, how many of you know what I'm talking about? That the word at times, it comes forth and it don't seem to touch you down inside. You hear what the preacher says and even the spirit inside of you tells you that's the truth because they're reading the word of God. Anybody can see that it's the truth, but it's not touching you. It's not moving you. You're asleep spiritually. All right, now he said to watch and to pray. In verse 36, 21:36, he said, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now he said, you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to get awake, and then you're going to have to pray to stay awake. Now let's go to 2 Timothy, and I'll show you another condition for preparation for his appearing. In 2 Timothy, let's run over to 2 Timothy, and this is the last one. And we'll put a semicolon here in our little study for a season. Amen. There's so many wonderful things, beloved. If this church will wake up, that God wants to study with you. And I'm going to tell you a secret. If you don't wake up as a church, they're going to go forth. But you know where they're going to go forth? They're going to go forth during the daytime when these ministers come in and these hungry people from all over the country, and a lot of you are going to miss it. Messiah. Because I'm not going to knock myself out beyond what the Holy Ghost wants me to for a people that's not awake. Now, God wants us to wake up. Some of you are sleeping. All right, 2 Timothy 4:8. And here's another thing for a preparation. Praise God. First, we've got to take heed to the self. We've got to watch. We've got to get awake. We've got to pray. And then we've got to love His appearing. Oh, you say, I really love His appearing. I'm really waiting for Jesus to come. Now, let me tell you something. Let's get this straight. Waiting for His appearing and loving His appearing are two different things. Now, let's see if you really love His appearing. I don't know about you. I get plumb scared myself sometimes. Now I just have to humble myself and get down at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'm not even sure how much I actually love Your appearing. But I want to. Now I know one thing, if you want to, well, the Lord will help you to do it. He'll work it in you. All that He is looking for is the heart that wants to. All right, let's go to the 4th chapter. And we have a little stature here of Paul's experience. And we have to take his example. And Paul told us in different times, he said, be ye therefore followers of me, for I'm following Christ. All right, in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, we find Paul saying, for I am now ready to be offered. Praise God. Are you ready to be offered? What's Paul talking about there? Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. Huh? Martyred, that's right. Paul knew by the Spirit of God that he was getting ready. It wasn't going to be long until they were going to take his life. He was going to be martyred for the cause of Christ. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be sacrificed. I'm ready to use my body as an offering, hallelujah to God, for Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. If you loved His appearing, I wouldn't have to be up here clubbing you to get on your knees to pray. Now, don't deceive yourself and don't be deceived. You're not ready, a bit more than a billy goat, hallelujah, to offer your body as a martyr if you can't even offer it for a little sacrifice to pray. I'm the Messiah. You understand what I'm saying to you, saints? Paul said, I love his appearing. Now you wait until we get through and you'll see how Paul loved his appearing. I'm ready to be offered. Or let the Lord put you to where your body has to take a little strain and a little pain and a little suffering for the glory of God. And then how do you act? Oh, hallelujah. I'm ready to be offered. Huh? Or do you moan because Sister So-and-so's getting by and you're having to do it? Or you're out there with the pick and shovel and nobody else has come to help you? Oh, hallelujah. We're great characters, aren't we? In our own minds. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. Let God start pouring you out a little bit. When he was going to be offered, what was going to happen? He was going to lose his last blood. He was going to be wrung out. And sometimes it's harder, beloved, to surrender for a slow offering. And Paul had already done that also. He'd had his very life wrung out for the saints of God. And he'd fought the beast of Ephesus. And he'd been in shipwreck. He'd been in the deep. He'd been in hunger. He'd been in pains. He'd been in afflictions. He'd been in infirmities. He'd been in everything, so to speak, for the Word of God and for the cause of the Gospel and the saints. He'd already been offered. Amen. And I'm telling you, I'm on my Sunday. We won't be ready for a martyr's death unless we're ready for God to wring us out a little bit, beloved, day by day for the cause of Christ. You say, oh, what, you're going to die that way. You're going to go to a premature grave. Hallelujah. Jesus went to a premature grave. The Apostle Paul went to a premature grave. I'd rather die being wrung out for Jesus than live in this old miserable world out of the will of God. Amen. All right, let's hurry on. Praise God. Let's see what else he'd done. Verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. Oh, hallelujah. I fought. There was a lot of times when I wanted to go to sleep. There was a lot of times when it just looked like I was going to go to sleep, whether I wanted to or not. But I'm on my Sunday. I have fought a fight. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to love His appearing when you're not fighting a good fight. How many of you, when you are fighting a good fight and you're really praying and you're fighting to stay awake and you're fighting to keep with this thing and you're fighting to press on and you're fighting to keep your eye on the prize and you're fighting to get up the holy hill, you feel that love of Jesus, or you just wish He'd come for you right that minute, huh? But when you're not fighting, how do you feel? Lord, wait a little while now. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. Don't come today because I might not make it if you come today. With all sincerity, how many of you this morning, you feel like you'd like for Jesus to wait a little while longer? There's some more things you'd like to do to get ready, huh?
Amen.
Preparation for His appearing. Love His appearing. Love it. Being in such a fighting condition, in such a warring condition, hallelujah, that you have that assurance in your soul. You have that love, hallelujah. Oh, that if He just come today, well, you could just have a Holy Ghost fit while you go up to meet Him in the air. Amen. Beloved, this is real. I'm preaching to you this morning. All right, Paul fought a good fight. Let's hurry up. He did something else. He said, I finished my course. Hallelujah. I finished my course. I've accomplished what God wants me to do in this world. I've finished my course up the racetrack. Oh, hallelujah. Now I'm just waiting for the wedding supper. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting for the wedding party. Hallelujah. I'm the Messiah. How many of us have finished our course? We've got some preparation, haven't we, saints, huh? We've got some preparation. All right, let's run. I finished my course. Praise the name of the Lord. I finished my course. Well, I could spend a lot of time on this. This is a message all in itself. Now then, notice the fourth thing. He said, I have kept the faith. Amen. Kept the faith. Now, this is wonderful. And the Lord gave Brother a revelation there. Praise God. Now, I'm not trying to be smart or say I told you so, but it's beautiful when you go this way. When the Holy Ghost reveals something, you get the same things all the time. That's why there's unity and harmony. God revealed that same thing to me in days gone by. There's a difference between the gift of faith that God gives to us, and thank God for that. We'd perish if it wasn't for that. But, beloved, the fruit of the faith comes when you come up in stature. Listen to me. Now, Paul said, I've kept the faith. What was he talking about? Beloved, he was talking about, the faith that came by stature. Now, how does faith come? It comes by the Word of God, doesn't it, huh?
Amen.
It comes when the Word is quickened. It comes when you put on the light of the Word. Are you following me? Now, what was Paul saying? I've kept the faith. I've kept the light of the Word. I've kept the revelation of the Word. I've run this course according to God's blueprint. And every time He showed me some light, well, I've kept it, I've held on to it, and I've walked in it, and I've obeyed it. Hallelujah. While that I've been fighting, and while that I was going up in my course in the stature, Paul said I did it in a legitimate way. I didn't do it after my own way. I didn't do it after my own plan or after my own thinking. I did it according to the faith. I did it according to the light of the Word. Praise God. Love is appearing. Let's look at it. He said, henceforth. In other words, from now on, because I've done this, He said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Now, what's Paul saying? I love His appearing. Because I've done this, I love His appearing. And from this day forth, there's a crown of righteousness which the righteous judge is going to give to me because of this. And not only to me also, but to the rest of them that love His appearing, get into this place where they can love His appearing. Praise God. There's preparation. Love His appearing. How many of you want to love His appearing today, huh? Let's stand up and ask the Lord to grant us that kind of love.